This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. It's time now for Money, Riches, and Wealth. Here's your host, Drew Tignanelli.
This is Drew Tignanelli here with Money, Riches, and Wealth. Here with Tommaso Vincenzo Giuseppe Bonvasuto.
Good evening, Drew.
Starting to flow better, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
You know?
Yes,
my Italian is improving every day.
Yes, it is.
You know?
Yes.
I know at least 5 Italian words.
Yeah. Well, there's 4 of them right there. No. That's my name.
Those aren't the Italian words I'm referring to, Tommaso.
I got you.
I can't use the Italian words that I learned from my father when I was running away from him. Anyway, we are here on an open show tonight, 410-922-6680. 410-922-6680. If you want to call in and ask your question and direct the conversation, because tonight, last week, we interviewed an author about emotional investing and how the way you think affects everything you do with your money and the way you invest and the way you spend and the way you try to make money and everything. It's impacted dramatically by the psychology more than the economics. Psychology overrides economics by far when it comes to personal financial planning.
Yes.
You know, so
yes, we see it all the time.
We do. We see it all the time. And it was a great show last week. And you should listen to the podcast. You can always go to our website and get an old show that we did, or a recent show we did, I should say.
Right.
And you can go to iTunes. And all of our shows are on iTunes all the way back to who knows when.
Right.
But tonight is an open show.
That's
therefore,
right.
You want to call in and lead the conversation, it's 410-922-6680, 410-922-6680. You can call in and ask any question on estate planning or income taxes or elder care or investments or insurances, be it auto or home or life. I was dealing with that auto and home and umbrella for my mother just as I was driving up here today. Be it long-term care insurance or maybe it's company benefits or college planning or paying off student debt or whatever. You call in and ask any question you want. It's totally up to you. You get to direct the conversation. And those who call in earliest are the ones that get the most attention to their question. 410-922-6680. You know, this morning, Tomas, I talked with Sean and Frank this morning. I don't know if Frank was there. I only talked to Sean, it seemed like. We talked about a revolution that was happening in investments that it's been pretty much proven now that in stock investing, in my opinion, it's stock investing, not bond investing, but stock investing is pretty much given that, you know, it's a waste of money to spend a lot of extra money on actively manage things, or where a broker's buying and selling stuff for you. And I don't care what fee they're charging you. If they're charging anything more than 0.05%, it's probably too much. You know, I was reviewing a trust that was being managed by a lawyer for a friend of mine.
Right.
And he's got it with Merrill Lynch, and he's got all these securities that are in there. And, you know, I'm not sure what the rates are. I'm not sure if there's commissions being paid on these things because I didn't have all the information. But what I could see is that there were clearly much too much trading going on. There was clearly much too much in fees. And there's no way that this portfolio they had was outperforming any index that they could have bought for a substantially cheaper amount of money than what they were currently paying for it.
Yeah. I mean, there's the whole issue of what's called passive investing or index investing. Vanguard, you know, is well known for it, and Jack Bogle, and we've talked about it. Warren Buffett's been coming out telling people you should index. Now, he's not necessarily indexing, but he's saying the average person out there should consider index investing because the cost of it is so low. And it is definitely a good topic to discuss.
And where the advisor should come in is providing tax advice, estate advice, insurance advice, without selling you product and so forth. This is where the advisor adds alpha to the portfolio, is comprehensive advice. And if you're not getting that, in my opinion, you're wasting a lot of money. So hold on, Tom. We got Judy in Littlestown, Pennsylvania. How are you?
Now, I don't know if I can take up the whole show, but I'll try and make it short, okay?
Go ahead.
My husband married a child bride, Okay, he's 65 and I'm 58.
All right.
Neither one of us are working right now. He is on Medicare. Okay, I am on a affordable care plan, and I get a subsidy because we had no income. Now, my husband wants to give me money. And I know normally that would be, like, wonderful, right? But
there's no problem with that. A husband and wife can transfer money between each other without any problem.
But should it be joint?
It's totally irrelevant, Judy. A husband and wife, whether it's joint or individual or back and forth or whatever, is totally irrelevant. You can do anything you want as husband and wife. It's as you're two as if you're one.
So it will not affect any subsidies I'm getting from the Affordable Care Act?
No, it will not affect. If he's just saying to you, if he's just saying to you, okay, here's $1,000, go ahead and do whatever you want with it and so forth.
Where's the money coming from, Judy?
Well, it's coming from an estate that he inherited from his parents, and it's going to be over $10,000.
But that's okay. Still, you know, the money's tax-free to him more than likely, and there's no way. You see, you two are married, right?
Yes. Yes.
So
for over 30 years.
Yeah, but you see, Judy, any subsidy you're getting is dependent on your joint income, not just your income.
But see, he's not on
It doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
Your subsidy for the exchange is solely dependent upon your taxable income on your tax return, whether you're joint or individual. That's all that matters. So whatever your tax return is going to say is all that matters. So he can transfer as much money between the two of you as you want. What you have to control, Judy, is your taxable income by the end of the year.
Is that the same as earned income?
Earned income, but if he inherits things from the estate that are taxable, like IRA money and you take it out, or annuity money that's been tax deferred and he takes it out, he's going to blow your subsidy on the exchange. You need to make sure you got somebody that understands taxes that looks at this for you so you don't make a mistake and get the surprise of your life at the end of the year.
Well, that's why I'm calling you first, and yeah, if you don't mind me asking, do you still have the place in Gettysburg?
Sure do.
Yeah, our office in Gettysburg is there, but you know, whoever does your taxes, that's the one who you should be talking to.
We made a call to that person first, but I like to do things more than once.
Well, I understand, but you probably wouldn't be able to work easily with our firm because, you know, we would have to charge too much money. You really need to go to the person you're doing your taxes with on your issue. But, you know, we can try to help you if we can. But the key that you have to do is control your taxable income.
And it doesn't matter if it's just mine, it's his also. Because on the Affordable Care Act as a single person.
It doesn't matter, Judy. It's your tax return. And the tax law for the subsidy is based on household income. All the people, even if you had an adult son that lived in your house with you, technically the exchange would take his income and add it to yours. So it's your joint income. That's the critical thing. You need to make sure that stays below the level. And whatever he's inheriting from the estate, make sure if you can defer income from that, defer it. All right?
Yes, thank you.
All right, Judy, you take care. I got to take a pause with traffic, and I'll be right back with our other callers.
Personal finance has become a major area of stress due to the increasing dangers and complexities of the global economy. Personal financial management is a comprehensive approach to combating these issues, and the financial physical is the first step. This is Drew Tignanelli, host of Money, Riches, and Wealth, and president of the Financial Consulate, an independent fee-only firm. The financial physical begins with an objective analysis of your personal finances and ends with a plan to help achieve your goals. Experience the difference of the financial physical and learn how personal financial management can revolutionize your financial well-being. To learn more about the financial physical and the other services we offer, call us at 410-823-SAVE. That's 410-823-7283. Or the easy way to remember that, 410-823-SAVE. Or visit us online at drewtig.com. That's drewtig.com.
All right,
WCBM.
We're back. Johnny be good. But I don't know who did it. I really don't. Chuck Berry. That's who I was going to guess.
Recently deceased.
But
right?
I couldn't even remember his name to guess it anyway. Hey, we're here with an open show with Tommaso Bambasuto, Bonbon. And if you want to call in and ask your question, 410-922-6680, 410-922-6680. If you want to call in, there's plenty of lines open, 410-922-6680. Those who call in now get the most time with their question. Kathy and Dundalk. How can we help you?
Hey, Drew. This is Kathy from Dundalk, and I've been listening to you for 100 years, and you and your guests.
You sound only like you're about 15, 20 years old. There's no way you can be 100 years old.
Well, I I'm 65. I just turned 65. Now, I don't know how else to say this, to come out and answer this, but let me ask you, my hubby, who I've been married to for 100 years, 32,
okay.
32 years is 79.
Okay.
I'm on Social Security. Of course, he's on Social Security. Does there ever come a time when, for lack of a better word, I can partake of his Social Security benefit? He's alive. I'm alive. He's 79.
Well,
I'm 65.
Well, did you work your whole life also?
My whole life.
So you have your own benefit. And so the only time you will get his benefit is if it's larger.
It is.
When he passes away. Then your benefit will disappear. His benefit will continue to you for the rest of your life.
I see. I thought that was it, but I didn't know for sure. And thank you very much for giving me that answer.
Not a problem, Kathy. Mm-hmm. You take care.
Okay, bye now.
Thank you.
Bye.
That was a good question. You know, a lot of misunderstanding about Social Security. And, you know, that's why Mr. Social Security himself is the most popular person television. Now, you know, my wife pointed out that there's a lawyer that got indicted, and he was called Mr. Social Security.
Was he?
And he was doing all kinds of fraud things with Social Security to make money.
Right.
But he was not Mr. Social Security himself.
The rock star.
He was the rock star of Social Security. Right. He was only Mr. Social Security.
Right,
he was a make-believe.
Yeah, you got to get the name right.
Mr. Social Security himself. Yeah. Anyway, we're on an open show, 410-922-6680. If you want to call and direct the conversation, we still have lines open. I'm going to Michael in Northwest Baltimore. Michael, how can we help you?
Hi, guys. I have a few questions for you about that law that just went into effect over the weekend involving a fiduciary's relationship between financial advisors and the clients.
Yep.
Is that something that you're rejoicing over? What did that what necessitated that law, and how is that a boon or a bane for fee-based financial buyers? The final question is...
Fee-based or fee-only?
Fee-only. What's it going to do for Main Street Americans who can't afford the likes of you guys?
Well, I think that the way we work, we price effectively, we're very effective against anybody, a broker, a insurance agent, you name it. We're very effective and cost effective for our clients. So it doesn't bother us at all. It's a terrible bill, though, because, President Obama allowed the Department of Labor to come in and make all kinds of goofy rulings that allowed people to get a BICE agreement. You know, you're familiar with that, but let's explain it to our listeners. A BICE agreement, okay, so what happened is they said, for retirement accounts like IRAs, you must abide by a fiduciary standard working in the best interest of the client. Now, instead of just leaving it at that statement, which is the way my firm has operated for over 20 years as a registered investment advisor, we always had to work as a fiduciary in the best interest of the client, period. And if any lawyer wanted to, they could take us to court and say they didn't work in the best interest of our client. Here are the case law that goes back umpteen years. And, they're guilty, Your Honor, and they owe my client,
restitution?
Word? Restitution. Retribution. We don't want that. You never know. and they could have left it at that, but they didn't. They said, well, we've got to make exceptions. We've got to have ways that clients can be explained to them that maybe what I have isn't 100% in your best interest, but it's as good as I have, and as long as you're willing to accept that, I'm willing, you know, you can buy it from me. And so it's called a BICE agreement, best interest client exemption. And so the client waives their best interest rights and they say, well, I'm going to still buy this. I understand. And this is why I'm going to buy it. It's a horrible plan because even my firm, according to our lawyers, have to do a 30-page contract with our clients. 30 pages if we wanted to fulfill every requirement of the Department of Labor. And what client's going to sit there and want to go through a 30-page agreement? I think it's a horrible bill. I think the intention was good, but it was a horrible bill.
Will you still be able to get fees even if you don't touch the client's account all year long?
Yes. In other words, if we're managing
we
can take fees from the clients even if we don't trade it but once during the whole course of the year. Yes, absolutely. Because in our BICE agreement, what we're talking about is everything we do for the client. And and that's the unique difference between us and most people, because we're doing a substantial amount of tax planning, like the client who called in earlier looking for a subsidy. We do a lot of that with our clients. You know, we do a lot of estate
Social
planning
Security.
With our clients.
Yeah.
We do a lot of social. We sign people up for Medicare when they're going on to Medicare. We find agents to do Medigap with. We help find long-term care policies with them. We don't charge for this. It's all built in to the cost of our services. So we're very confident about how we're doing it. I don't know how the rest of the industry is going to do it. But it's a horrible bill for all of us, and that should be revamped. Should just be very simple. Best interest of the client, period. End of the story.
All the time.
What was insufficient about the rule of suitability? Why wasn't that enough?
You know, you and I can debate this on the air, but our clients our listeners don't understand what we're talking about yet. Suitability, best interest, and so forth. And I think what we ought to do is do a whole show on suitability, best interest. And we ought to get a lawyer on that does this and talk about, you know, how they work, what's the suitability. We don't get somebody that's favorable to us. We get somebody that's willing to be neutral, just like we did with Wade Fowle.
Yeah, no,
that'd be a good show, Mike. Michael.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Michael.
Good idea.
Okay.
I got to run.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Michael's bringing up some great questions. This new law about best interest, but it only applies to retirement accounts, IRAs, Roths.
The law only applies to that. We act in the best interest in all cases, and that's the fallacy of this law. You know, the people are going to come out and say, now I'm acting in your best interest, but only in their retirement plans. We act across the board in everything that we do.
24/7, 365, decade after decade.
Exactly.
We're a fiduciary every minute, everything we do.
Yep.
Whereas this law says if you're doing an IRA for somebody or a Roth, then you have to. Anyway, we're on a open show tonight, 410-922-6680. If you want to call in and get online while we're on this pause with traffic, and we'll be right back. Money, riches, and wealth.
You need help organizing your financial life? You thought about what retirement looks like when you go beyond just the numbers? The financial physical is the first step in working together to organize your personal finances and your goals. This is Drew Tignanelli, host of Money, Riches, and Wealth, and president of the Financial Consulate, an independent fee-only firm. Call today to schedule your financial physical and experience the difference. Learn at DrewTig.com. That's DrewTig.com or 410-823-SAVE. That's 410-823-SAVE.
We're back. Money, riches, and wealth. I'm not even going to guess at that one. Anyway, we're here on an open show, 410-922-6680, 410-922-6680. If you want to call in and ask your question and direct the conversation, we have Frank in Ellicott City. Frank, how can we help you?
Had a question on federal income tax. What's the amount and requirement you can give as a gift to your children?
Well, that's the age-old fallacy, Frank, and that is that you could give them $1 billion and it has no impact whatsoever on your income tax return, either yours or your children.
Wow. Do you have to fill out a form or something?
Nothing. Nothing. Now, relative to income taxes, Frank. Now, What the misnomer is this, okay? Everybody thinks that if you give more than $14,000 to your children, then you owe, your children owe income taxes on the amount of money they receive over that $14,000, or something bad happens on the income tax return. There is no truth to that. Okay, so now let's look at, well, what is the truth? Where does this $14,000 come from? The federal government, in their infinite wisdom, and along with the state of Maryland, actually, believe that if somebody during their lifetime or at death leaves more than $5,490,000 to somebody other than their spouse, that they should give the government, the federal government in the state of Maryland, something like 40 or 45% of the amount over that $5,490,000. All right, so this is called the gift and estate tax laws, which 99% of Americans never have had to worry about. Seriously, 99% of Americans. But almost every American knows about it because they keep hearing this. You give more than $14,000, you're going to owe tax on that money. And people hear that, and people hear that. But you see, here's the thing, is that the government says, we'll allow you to give your children up to $14,000 per year per person. So you can give $14,000 to them. Your wife can give $14,000 to them. And you can give it to, if you have five children, give each of you can give $28,000 to each child. So the two of you can give $28,000, 14 each, to any one child. You have five children. So now you can give, what's that, five times $28,000 is $140,000?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you give out $140,000, and we won't count a nickel of that this year against your lifetime $5,490,000 per person, you and your wife, let's say, against your estate and gift tax laws. Am I making any of this clear to you yet, Frank?
Yeah, you're talking big money.
I know, but you see, that's the point here, Frank, is that this concept of giving away money to your children and where does it become a problem is really only for people who have an estate. Let's say if you're worth more than $3 million or you expect to be worth more than $5 million sometime in the future, then you have to start worrying about giving your children a lot of money. If you don't expect your estate of you and your spouse to ever be anything more than that, and you're willing to take a chance that it'll never be worth more than $5 million, then you don't have anything to worry about.
I thought any transfer of $10,000 or more was questionable.
Well, that's a different thing. You're thinking of currency transaction reporting, perhaps, that the banks are tracking.
Yeah, you're talking about if you gave cash. If you gave $10,000, if you gave $5,000 of cash to somebody and they took it to a bank and deposited it, or $10,000 especially,
right,
you could have the Secret Service watching you just because they're curious as to where you get all that cash, Frank.
Laundering money, terrorist organizations.
Well, how do you give the money to the person?
Write them a check.
You write them a check. You know, you just write a check and say, you know, here, Johnny, here's little Frank, here's $14,000.
Oh, there's only cash things that...
Cash is a problem not because of income taxes and so forth. It's just because they're looking for money launderers. They're looking for terrorists and things like that. But if you're just giving money to your children, like my parents gave each of their children a hunk of money that was well over the $14,000 about 3 years ago. My father did not file a gift tax return, and because he and my mother were confident they were never going to have more than $5 million. And, you know, clearly if you were talking to an attorney, and the state attorney would say, Drew, if he gave more than $14,000, he should file the gift tax return. There's no harm in filing it other than the $300 or $400 or $500 you got to give the lawyer to file a worthless piece of paper. But from an income tax point of view, Frank, there is absolutely no issue whatsoever. You can give your children $1 billion in income taxes. It will not affect a thing. But if it's more than $5 million during your lifetime or at death, for some reason, government feels that they deserve 40% mm-hmm. of everything in excess of $5,490,000. Now, can you get your arms and mind around why the government should feel that they're entitled to 40%? You gave, if you died and you were worth $10 million, Frank, do you believe the government should be entitled to what, $1,600,000?
Right.
No, nobody does. But right. for some reason, they allow these liberal politicians out there to, you know, continue to hammer that it's not fair. It's not right that you were born into a family and you inherit $10, $20, $30 million. I mean, I keep hearing that all the time. You know, now, right. if they were born into those families,
yeah.
they would think that it's extremely fair, you know?
Right. Well, that's how they get their votes.
I just don't.
I appreciate it. That's cleared up a lot of. So you could just write a check for whatever if you're not going to hit that top.
So tell me, exactly. how much do you think you want to give your children? $5,000, $10,000, $20,000, what?
Right now, I'm trying to consider it.
How much though? Is it $5, $10, $15, $20?
Oh, around five.
Five, Frank, you are fully able to do that and don't have to worry about a single thing with government in any way, shape, or form.
Yep.
Okay. Well, thank you kindly.
You're
All
welcome,
right, buddy. You go ahead and do it.
Right,
enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, It's the biggest misnomer
yep.
in all of income tax law
yep.
is that if I give money to somebody,
mm-hmm.
they're going to have to pay income taxes if I give them just a dollar more than
yep.
some magical number.
Yep.
There is no income tax consequences whatsoever.
Right. Yeah, there's so many numbers and so many things that float around. I mean, we were having conversations with a client about giving because they wanted to give money for a house. Well, okay, so then the bank cares about it because the bank monitors your account statements and they're seeing, okay, where are you getting this income from and where did that come from? Is that really a loan? Is that a gift? You might have to. So there's so many different factors, but there are so many, and people get them confused. Just like Frank was saying, you know, $10,000. I heard this well, first of all, it was $10,000. I don't know how many years ago it was. You know, that was the number. And then it's worked its way
up. Back in the 2000s,
yeah.
but before like 1998, it was only $3,000.
Right.
But again,
right.
it had no income tax issue.
Yeah,
it was
yeah.
strictly a gift and estate tax and mm-hmm. only for people who had lots of money.
Right.
Right. And then there's Judy who calls in earlier and she's
yeah.
concerned that her own husband can't
yeah.
move money to her without,
right.
you know, and what it's
right.
really she has to be focused on is
yeah.
their joint income tax return.
Right.
Because she's going to get the surprise of her life if that joint income tax return goes over, I think, it depends on how much of a subsidy she's getting.
Right, right.
You know, but if she's getting
yeah.
a fairly nice subsidy and their income takes a
right.
$10,000, $20,000 pop, she's going to owe
$3,000 or $4,000. And that's why I asked her, where is it coming from? Because if he's going to take it out of his IRA and that pushes her income up, that's going to be a problem. Or if he sells something out of that estate, you know, and it was a low basis for some reason, you know, still had a low basis and had a big gain in something, and in capital gain is going to push him over. So those
yep.
are the things, like you said, go back to your tax person.
Yeah. So we're on an open show tonight, 410-922-6680. If you want to call in, we have open lines, and we're able to take your call. But right now I have to take a pause with traffic. Take it away, traffic. Summertime blues. In the summertime. Don't they say summertime blues in it, though? See? I was close. Oh, Mungo Jerry, one of my favorites.
All right.
I was around that, 1971.
As was I?
Yeah, let me think. I was ninth grade. I was in ninth grade.
You're 14.
I just moved to Cockeysville, and I went to
Delaney,
ninth grade. I'm a Delaney alumni, Towson
right.
University alumni.
That's right.
Anyway.
And you weren't, and you're not 100 years old, so that we know that, you know, Judy has not been listening to you for 100 years.
That is true, but I will be 60
Kathy,
this year
was. Yep.
on July 31st,
July
in case
31st.
You want to bring me a gift there, Tom.
Yep, it is a holiday.
Yes, so. It is. Anyway, so... we were going to talk about, we're on an open show. So
we
if
are.
You want to direct the conversation, 410-922-6680, 410-922-6680. But I figured we'd just go in and address what
mm-hmm.
Michael said earlier
yep.
about this fiduciary law that passed or should have went into effect on Friday of
yep.
last week. So
yep.
now if you have a broker or investment advisor or an insurance agent or anyone telling you they want to help you with your IRAs, your 401ks, your 403b, or whatever, your Roth IRA, if it's a retirement account, they have to work in your best interest, and they have to have a contract that discloses all the reasons why you should be making the move you're making.
Right.
And if there's some, you know, reason that it's not necessarily in your best interest, you have to waive your best interest in the BICE agreement.
Right.
And Michael's question, which was a good question, but it would take too long to address in, you know, the 30 seconds I had left before our next pause, was why was the suitability standard not good enough?
Right.
Okay, so let's let's address that,
all
right? So what the suitability standard meant was this. So Tom comes in and says to me, Drew, I have $100,000 to invest, and I'm still young. I'm 51, and this account's going to stay invested for a long time. And I'm a stockbroker. I'm working under the suitability standard. And so I say, Tom, here's the growth fund of America, number 42 or whatever, you know, and I think that this is a great investment for you.
Right.
Now, you know, you went over to somebody working in your best interest. They may have said to you, here's the growth fund of America, but it's number one. It's not number 42, you know, and though what happened is, the guy that was working in your best interest had to give you the absolute best mutual fund for you. And even though both are selling you the growth fund of America, the guy selling it in your best interest was getting you the one that he had no conflicts of interest with. It was the lowest fee possible on a yearly basis, et cetera.
Right.
Whereas the broker could have been selling Tom under the suitability standard, the Growth Fund of America, the exact same fund. But the 42 fund, then the 42 fund just happens to pay an 8% commission.
Right.
And if you sell more than $5 million of it in the course of the year, they send you on a trip around the world.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yep.
And it's designed to be incentivized with the commissions and so forth. Now, the client who got the one with the best interest meets up with the client, and they're best friends. And they say, well, I bought the Growth Fund of America. And you bought the growth fund, but mine's number 42. What's the difference? And he says, well, you know, I think your broker got a 10% commission, and he took a trip around the world on you. And the client gets mad and goes back to the broker and says, that's illegal. You should never have done that. That wasn't in my best interest. And the broker says, well, I'm under a suitability standard. You know, there was a prospectus that was given to you. It showed some of that other information in there. And it disclosed some of that information and so forth. You know, so I don't know what you're all upset about. You know, I got to get paid some way. There's no liability whatsoever on the broker for selling something that was full of conflicts of interest. But because it was suitable, the only suitability that had to be there was you asked for growth, I gave you growth. Now, if I gave you a bond fund and you asked me for growth, and it was a U.S. government bond fund, you'd have a case against me because you asked for growth and I gave you bonds. Or if you asked me for bonds, that's even worse. And I say, no, you need growth because growth is going to go through the roof. And, you know, it's 2007 and all of a sudden your portfolio goes down to 40% and you're like, well, he told me that I had to have growth and I was going to make more money and I didn't understand I was taking risk. Then he would be in trouble because it wasn't suitable for what he said. But he doesn't have to pick a good bond fund. He doesn't have to pick a good stock fund. He doesn't have to worry about his conflicts of interest. He could go on trips around the world, get the greatest commission. And that's why, in my opinion, I have no idea whatsoever why any client in any way, shape, or form would work with anybody in the brokerage industry or the insurance industry under a suitability standard. Because, and you know, they always tell me, well, I trust my guy. I trust him. He's got everything in my best interest. Let me tell you something, Tom.
You were there.
Under that standard, suitability. I was a good guy. I was a very honest guy, as best honest as I could be. But I became a substantially better more professional financial advisor when I went fee-only, and I was able to look the landscape of all products and say, what's in the best interest of my client? And my wife tells the story all the time. We used to go on trips around the world in the 80s and the early 90s. Yeah. I went to Sweden. I went to Switzerland. I went to Kenya. Yeah. I went to Eastern European trip in 1991, 2 years after the wall came down. I went on some of the greatest trips around, and I said to my wife in 1993 after our last one, I said, you know what? Our clients pay for these trips, and I'm sick and tired of it. And I said, we're going fee-only by 1995, and we're not going to be part of this game anymore. Mm-hmm. And we did. Yep. My wife still tells that story to this day.
Yep, yep.
You know, because suitability, in my opinion, does not work.
Mm-hmm.
You want to be a professional advisor, work in the best interest of your clients, like you said earlier, 24-7, 365.
Yep, and that's going to be the confusing part about this fiduciary rule, because now it's coming out and people are going to, you know, play that side. And what I've said is we've been a fiduciary all along. We are a fiduciary. We're a fiduciary for everything we do for you. Now, this rule only applies to retirement accounts. So people are not going to be, you know, getting the best advice for everything, and they're still not going to get the best advice. Like you said, you know, our outside counsel wanted us to have a 30-page document. Nobody's going to read that document. They're just going to initial. The guy's going to point and say, "Hey, initial here." That waives your right, you know, to, you know, that you realize that, you know, it may not be perfect for you, and you're going to do it anyway. So, you know, it doesn't really solve anything, except it just gets more lawyers, you know, compensated and puts a smoke and mirrors around it. You know, just like the darn annuity guys out there that are selling stuff, and then they call the people when the surrender charge is wrapping up, and they sell them another one, you know, so they can go on another trip or do whatever they're doing. It's just so frustrating.
And could have President Obama could have just done a simple thing. He could have said fiduciary standard
period.
For any investing period for any client.
Yeah.
If you want to invest for a client, you know, fiduciary.
Yeah.
Actually, my heart's desire would be to see the industry, I mean, the government creates a professional credential like a lawyer or a doctor and say you cannot take commissions. You are the professional advisors. Everyone else can be insurance salespeople, investment salespeople.
Right.
They can do anything they want. They can sell anything they want. It's caveat emptor. And if somebody wants professional advice, you know, here's the people you go to for professional advice. They'll negotiate with the brokers and the insurance agents on your behalf.
Yeah.
That, to me, would be the best answer. If somebody's foolish enough to go directly to a broker or an insurance agent and try to do it themselves, then go for it.
Yeah.
They, you know, hopefully they've done their homework.
Yeah,
but otherwise, you want a professional advisor, here are the people you turn to. They're fee-only, they're independent. And they work as a fiduciary all the time interest of the client.
Next week, home health care.
Home health care.
With Danny O'Brien. Yep.
And we're off our high horse right now,
that's
Tom.
That's right.
And
I know.
We're
got the blood pressure medicine.
End of this show. This is Drew Tignanelli saying God bless.